Set your apps down, iPhone photographers. It's time for the Tiny Shutter Podcast with your hosts, Keith Tharp, Mark Sadowski, and Matt Hoffman. Suck it, Android.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. We are back for another fun-filled episode of the Tiny Shutter Podcast. This is the iPhone Photography Podcast, all about iPhone photography and nothing but iPhone photography by iPhone photographers. My name is Keith Tharp.
I'm Mark Sadowski.
And I'm Matt Hoffman.
Matt is still sleeping.
Matt, it looks like you have a nasty sunburn.
No, it's the crappy lighting in my office here.
Awesome.
I thought you were traversing a mountain and just got blasted by the sun.
No, that'll be this coming weekend.
Very cool. Foreshadowing.
Yes.
Can't wait. So we got a pretty decent episode today, fairly light on the news end of things, but we have a super special guest, and his name is Patrick. He will be coming on in a pre-recorded pre-recorded interview later on in this episode, and Patrick is from Oloclip, if I hadn't mentioned that already, and he'll be coming on later, just in case I hadn't mentioned that either.
He'll say some words, and
he'll be much more eloquent than I am, for certain.
He might even talk about the Oloclip.
Yeah, probably.
Spoilers.
All right, we got two pieces of news this week, and I am going to jump into them. They are both moderately interesting. Well, one of them is more interesting than the other. So I'm going to start with the least interesting piece of news, and that is that Richard Williamson has been fired. Ladies and gentlemen, Richard Williamson is the gentleman that is behind the bag of puke that is Apple Maps. And they fired him, and hey, bet you $100 Apple Maps doesn't get better.
You know what? I have an interesting story about Apple Maps. For the first time, Waze did not take me to the destination I wanted to get to. So in a fit of frustration, I busted out Google Maps. Not Google Maps, the Apple. Yeah, force of habit there. Mm-hmm. Busted out the Siri Maps, and subsequently that didn't take me to the place I wanted to either. So
I got a funny Apple Maps story too, since we're telling funny Apple Maps stories. We were wherever the heck we were, I don't know, coming back from the White Mountains, and we're in a place where we don't have any idea where we are. I have Waze and my wife has Apple Maps, and we both ask the particular program to get us home. And no lie, we are at an intersection. Waze is telling me to go left, and Siri is telling me to go right. And foolish me, I followed Siri. And Siri took me 20 miles this way, 10 miles that way, and 20 miles back this way to where Waze would have brought me out in 7 miles. No lie.
Isn't that like the time when you and I were using the Maps features going to Kate's wedding?
Yeah,
you had Siri and I had Waze, and Waze was telling us to go the Pike. No, not the Pike. Was it?
I don't know. One was the other way. So, but yeah, anyway, so Waze is the appropriate choice. Anyway, so let's move on to our more interesting piece of news today, and that is a gentleman named Will I Am. He is, in case you don't know, he is one of the dudes from, what's the name of that band that sings the wedding song that you don't like?
Black Eyed Peas.
The Black Eyed Peas, yeah.
He is personally responsible for the blood coming out of my ears.
Yes, yeah. Well, Will.i.am has a grand idea to make a iPhone photography piece of apparatus. I wouldn't even call it a... an accessory. It's basically what I'm gathering from this bit of blabber that's going on on Gizmodo is that he's planning on basically making a camera that's powered by your iPhone. It's not like he's going to attach another lens to the iPhone. This thing that he's creating, I'll read to you, we have our own sensor and a better flash. You dock your phone into our device, and it turns your smartphone into a genius phone. We take over the camera. So he goes on to mention how he was at a photo shoot and one of the models took out their iPhone for a behind-the-scenes picture, and he got his little aha moment and decided he was going to do something about it. So
this is something that we've been asking for quite some time, and I find it strangely conflicting right now for a cool idea and the fact that it's coming from Will.i.am.
Yeah.
I have my own ideas of what this this product's going to be all about. So he says it's a 14 megapixel sensor, right?
Right.
Right.
All right. So here's what I think. I think it's actually still 8 megapixels that you're getting for the image that you're trying to take, and the other 6 megapixels are women and champagne that are superimposed over your picture to make it look like you're hanging out with a black eyed piece.
All of them screaming Mazel Tov at the top of their lungs.
Awesome. I like that idea.
And this is coming. This is supposed to be announced pretty soon.
Yeah, at the bottom of the story, it says it's going to be launched in London next week.
But that was last week. It should be this week then, right?
I don't know. I don't know that. I believe it. So what I think, I like Matt's idea, and I say we just do it ourselves. So you take the 8 megapixel picture, and then our app puts it on a 14 megapixel frame. And then, you get the solid bit of whatever creativeness that we can come up with on the outside. And basically what you'll do is you'll pick a category for your picture, like outdoors, and it'll slap it on a 14 megapixel frame of some trees and leaves and stuff.
I want one of the categories to be cats.
Yes, yes. There'll be paw prints and like little Michael Jackson eyes.
But they have to be glittery because it's Will I Am.
Love it.
I'm so getting this.
All right, so let's make some early predictions. Do you think this device is going to be cool? Let's start with the easiest.
Well, wait. Let's start with one step before that. Do you think it's actually real?
And if so, who thinks I'm right? Who thinks I'm right about the product?
I am going to say that it's real, but it's not what we think we want it to be.
I think that if it's real and it's a week away from launch and we don't have any visual candy, I don't know if I believe it or not. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know. I pre-ordered 10 for Christmas presents.
Did you get them on Black Friday?
I have no idea what they cost, but I pre-ordered it.
Awesome.
Well, I'll say this. I got a feeling that we're going to be very disappointed. Sorry, I couldn't resist.
All right, let's move on. And we are going to move on to our special this week, which is a pre-recorded interview with Patrick from Oloclip. So we will get into that, and we will meet you back on the other side. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back. I am Keith Tharp, and we're back here with Patrick from Oloclip. Patrick, how are you today?
I'm living the dream.
I use that one all the time. That's awesome.
I've been saying it for years, and it used to be sarcasm, but now it's become true over the last 18 months. So
you're going to have to find a new sarcastic saying.
I know. I find it hard to be sarcastic these days because, it's... I've got nothing to be sarcastic about.
I don't know. There's a lot of Android phones. I kid.
All right. Patrick, for our listeners, you are the creator of Oloclip. Can you give me a little bit of the pre-production history of how it came about, what got your gears turning to build it?
Sure. I've been in the technology business my whole life. It's all I've ever done is do peripherals for computers, storage products. Then I got into mobile. I was doing accessories for PDAs and then the earliest smartphones when those came out. And I come from a family of photographers. I've always loved photography. I've loved taking pictures. And when the first camera phones came out, I thought how cool it would be to be able to put lenses on those. but there wasn't an elegant way to mount the lens on the device, and that was the problem. So I spent the next few years thinking about it, and I finally figured it out, and then the Olaclip was born out of that, and we launched it on Kickstarter.
The Olaclip, the original Olaclip, comes with three options. You can go with wide angle, fisheye, or macro. Are those three options a kind of product of your limitations with what you can do by mounting an auxiliary lens to the iPhone?
I'm not quite sure.
Basically, what I mean is we don't have anything to stretch it past that 35 millimeter equivalent. We don't have anything, you know. There's nothing on the Olaclip that gives you like a telephoto type of effect.
Yeah. No. No, that's not a limitation. That's just what we decided to roll with at the beginning. You're going to be seeing a lot of other cool products from us in the very near future.
Oh, sweet. I pray for a telephoto. I pray for one.
Mark, did you have one?
Well, you kind of stole that thunder there. But look, what your design of the Olaclip is extremely solid. I mean, if out of all the devices out there, the accessories, yours is pretty much the only one that, as I like to put it, fits like a glove. I mean, it is probably the most secure device out there. What kind of engineering went into doing something this precise?
A lot. We iterated hundreds of versions of the Olaclip before we ever launched on Kickstarter. And we spent a lot of time and effort perfecting this and getting it just right. And we're really happy with the result. In fact, I mean, the product that we're selling today that's in the Apple Store right now is the exact same product that we delivered to our Kickstarters.
That's awesome.
Yeah. It, so
it's actually a great segue for my next question, which was the Kickstarter experience. I mean, I know yours was obviously a fairly successful experience overall, but the actual Kickstarter kind of...
You just made it.
community and kind of ecosystem. How do you feel about Kickstarter, basically?
Love the Kickstarter experience. Was fantastic. It was the perfect way for us to get this product out in the hands of enthusiastic early adopters. The other thing about Kickstarter was we delivered within a week of what we promised.
Holy crap. Really?
Yeah. Yeah. If you look at some of the projects that are happening these days, and take a look at their promise date versus their delivery.
Yeah, you're looking at a couple of years in some cases.
Yeah. I've got one that it funded a year and a half ago, and I still haven't got it. But the guy keeps doing updates and keeps making promises. So,
well, what makes that's interesting, because what made this so unique to, let's say, some of the other projects out there? Why was the turnaround time so easy?
Because I think it's pretty simple. It's because we've got years of experience in this industry, and we understood the challenges and we were prepared for them. I mean, I had lots of people on Kickstarter we funded send me messages, and somebody would say, I've got this great idea. I want to get a patent on it. I want to launch on Kickstarter next week. I haven't done a prototype and I don't know how much it's going to cost me to make it. And I'm like, you know, I would tell them, okay, you need to go out and get patents for dummies. You need to read it. You need to make prototypes. You need to identify factories that are going to produce these items for you. And you need to find out what your costs are. Otherwise, how can you set a price?
Right.
And I mean, I would end with, you're not ready for Kickstarter. You know, go do some more work. You know, it's a little bit harsh, but it's like, you know, people need to understand that you need to do the work before you get to the point where you're ready for Kickstarter.
We've done a couple Kickstarter shows, and I mean, it seems like there's a, you know, it's just like any other environment. There's a lot of, how do you say junk nicely? There's a lot of stuff on Kickstarter that you just kind of scratch your head and wonder why they're kind of wasting the bandwidth. You know what I mean? And so that kind of leads into my question is why Kickstarter and not a kind of venture capitalist or something?
Why did we do that?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I put up all the funding to start the company, and I spent a lot of money before we ever got to Kickstarter. And we didn't need money, so we didn't need venture capital. We've gone without it. So because Kickstarter was it was a combination of the money I put up and then also the Kickstarter funds. And we've just been able to roll that and keep it going. And it's hard, and you just have to, you know, pour everything back in. But, you know, we've managed to do it, and we've achieved, I think, fantastic success.
Absolutely.
Well, we gave the Olaclip glowing reviews in our previous shows. I mean, that goes without saying. But what kind of reception did you receive apart from the Kickstarter? Like, how? I mean, I don't want to ask how sales were, but how were sales? What kind of worldwide reception did the Olaclip get?
It's great. We're in every Apple store in the world. We're in Best Buy. We're in Target. We're in Walmart, Office Depot. I mean, the product's been very well received. People love it. If you go on our website at olaclip.com, you can see a live feed from Instagram of pictures that people have tagged Olaclip.
That's just excellent. At
the bottom, the live feed. The pictures people are taking are amazing. Yep. Just blows us away to see these pictures.
Excellent.
And, you know, it's just so much fun what we do. We just have so much fun every day over here.
That's awesome. That's very cool. I saw that the iPhone 5 is up for pre-order, and is it launched now?
No, we started shipping Friday. Black Friday.
Sweet.
Oh, very cool.
Very cool. How are supplies for that?
They're constrained. It's going to be tight through the holidays. They're going to be in the Apple Store and Best Buy next month. But, I mean, if it's anything like last year, they will come into the store and fly out of the store. Right. They'll come into the store, fly out of the store. So it'll be tight supply. I mean, the thing is, too, the Olaclip's such a fantastic gift that, you know, everybody, it's a busy time for us.
Sure.
What I like about the Olaclip is that, there are a lot of good accessories, but I think we can all agree that, well, between me, Keith, and Matt, I'm not going to put you on the spot, Patrick, but we've seen a lot of not so great things. One of my favorite things about Olaclip, apart from the sturdy design, is like you have that nice packaging. You have that nice carrying case that you have that mini experience that Apple presents with their iPhone. You kind of like, you know, pass it forward to the Olaclip, and I just think that's phenomenal.
Thank you. I mean, we tried. The thing, I've had a couple of big influences in my life. One of them is Steve Jobs. I mean, I've been a fan of his. My first computer was an Apple II Plus in 1983.
Oh, sweet. And that's going way back.
And then I've followed him my whole life. I've read everything about him that ever came out. And I mean, as we were developing the Olaclip, I would ask myself, would Steve be happy? And I would come up with the answer no, and we would do another iteration or another five iterations and keep going until I could say that, yeah, you know what, Steve would be okay with this. But so there's Steve, but then there's also a guy called Colin Chapman from England who founded Lotus Cars. Mm-hmm. And his whole design philosophy was on simplicity and lightweight. So he just always distilled his cars to the lightest possible, just taking things out until they broke, just to get it down to its essence, because to make a good race car, it has to be light. And, so it's the simplicity and lightweight. And I think the app has those same design philosophies as that, just keeping things simple and light.
And all right, so what I'm taking out of this is that if you're going to design something, you need a British guy, because Apple has Johnny Ives. You had that influence. There definitely is some magic in that British Isle there.
And an American passport.
I'm sorry, can you say that again? I think we lost you.
A British and American passport, so I've got
Oh, there you go. No.
Perfect. Matt, do you have something?
I do not have any questions prepared for this, no.
We love you anyway.
Well, it's a very simple, straightforward product. I'm not really sure what to ask about it.
Thanks for coming in, Matt.
Yeah, no problem.
Patrick, let's go back to you and your personal photography experience. Do you have a kind of passion for mobile photography, or are you more into a professional realm with DSLRs or medium format?
I mean, I've got a lot of experience in DSLR, but obviously also mobile, because I used to travel around the world and I would bring a, you know, a 7200 lens and a 2470 and, you know, DSLR, and I would have 20 pounds of gear. And I'm like, you know, that's a lot of work.
Sure. I've all but given up on, I mean, unless I'm doing something professionally, I'm always carrying my iPhone with me, and I don't even, I have my gear in my car, my professional gear in my car, but I don't carry it with me anymore like I used to. I don't even carry a point and shoot anymore. It's just, I don't have a need for it anymore.
You need, I mean, obviously the iPhone doesn't replace the DSLR.
No.
But the DSLR doesn't fit in your pocket. So it's, you know, horses for courses, as they say in England.
Well, you will be happy to know that in one particular case, Keith and I did replace the DSLR. And I actually used your Oloclip during a wedding that we photographed using entirely iPhones.
Excellent.
So it came in very, very handy. The wide angle was perfect.
See, in a wedding, I can really see macro really coming in, being useful. Some really cool
detail shots, yeah.
The ring and the flowers and some other things.
Son really of a bitch. I knew I... That's a they missed opportunity.
the bride and groom actually had a professional photographer there, and then they had gone out and requested Hipstamatic photographers, and it kind of had a little moderate viral appeal. Petapixel picked up on it, and Mark and I kind of answered the call and went down to Connecticut to shoot their wedding with the iPhones. But it was a cool experience. We learned a lot about the limitations of the iPhone, and then how to work around those limitations and basically get back to creating images, and not so much about the gear as much as it was about creating the images.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
So
when it came time to do that big mass group shot, the Oloclip came in handy for that wide angle. So
you know what? The Oloclip's fantastic with the new Apple Panorama feature in iOS 6.
Well, that would, is it?
Yes, it is.
I haven't tried that yet. I have. I got the new iPhone 5, so I handed off my Oloclip. So now I just have to. I have to go and make my order and get the iPhone 5 version. But that sounds like it would be fun.
Yeah. No, it is. So I mean, if you take a look, Panorama's out Joshua Tree, and I did some at the Apple campus that are really cool that show off the difference between. So with the Apple. Normally in Panorama, you can get about, I think, something around 240 degrees.
Mm-hmm.
With the old fisheye, you can get 360 degrees.
Nice.
Awesome. So
get additional field of view in the vertical, too.
Right.
So you get a taller image. So you're going to see more of what's around you. And then with the fisheye, you get closer to 400 degrees if you want it. But you can stop whenever you want. And get really tall vertical field of view. So it's really, really can make some wow panoramas with the combination.
One tip that I never actually mentioned when we did our Oloclip reviews, I think I forgot to mention it. And one thing that I really liked about the Oloclip is, and it's different now with my iPhone 5, but with the iPhone 4, my minimum focus distance was pretty long. And with the Oloclip, the regular wide angle Oloclip on, you can actually reduce that minimum focus distance. It wasn't like crazy. It wasn't like getting into macro, but it definitely was closer than...
probably somewhere around that with the wide angle. And with the fisheye, you could be touching your subject and be in focus with the fisheye.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very cool, though. That was just a neat tip. That there's sometimes where you don't want to be macro, but you do want to get in a little bit closer, and the Oloclip definitely helped out for that.
All about creative options in your pocket.
Absolutely.
And that pretty much says it all.
Awesome. So listen, I'm going to let you get moving. What I'd like to do is ask you if you have any kind of tips or any kind of anything iPhone photography related that you'd like to share with the listeners. Doesn't necessarily have to be a tip, but, you know.
I think we've given them lots, but another one is for macro photography. A good tip is to use the focus lock on the Apple app or on some of the other apps. All you have to do is just tap the screen, hold it, and you'll lock the focus. And that way, you just go in and out closer and further from your subject to get the macro focus just perfect. Otherwise, if you don't lock the focus, the iPhone is going to fight the focus as you're moving, and it's going to be trying to, it's going to be adjusting the focus as you move in and out, and you're going to be working against each other. So if you lock the focus, you take that out of the equation, and then it's just a matter of getting the distance perfect to get the perfect focus.
I never thought to do that.
That's an awesome tip. And I actually noticed when I was doing macro with it that you can trick the focus too. If you really want to kind of get in, you can play some games with Apple's lock and pull it away so that it has trouble focusing on anything, and lock it at a certain point, and you can actually get it to focus closer than it would have in a normal situation if you lock it. But that's definitely an awesome tip. Very cool. Well, Patrick, thank you so much for giving us your time and coming on, and I look forward to trying out the OloClip for the iPhone 5, and I actually look forward also to what you got in the pipe for other products.
So no, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much for inviting me on.
Well, thank you. It's great having you on, and anytime you want to come back on to announce special things or just say hi, let us know. The door is always open for you.
Excellent. Well, thank you.
Excellent. Thank you.
All right. Welcome back from the interview, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for Patrick for coming on. And in the coming weeks, Mark and I will contrive a contest of sorts to gather folks who are interested in winning a OloClip direct from OloClip. So, make sure you get your listening ears on, because that will be being announced. That will be being announced very shortly. All right, so let's move on, and we are going to move on to Mark and his post pick of the week. Take it away.
This week, there is a very interesting photo from R. Miller T-Bone on Instagram. It is a photo. Well, let's put it this way. His photo description
is a photo.
It is a photo, believe it or not, as opposed to the text that people put on the popular page, and yet it becomes a popular photo.
Go figure. Anyway.
The description is, this used to be a plate, and it is a very, very geometric photo. I don't know if anybody could see it in the focus group here or on the YouTube channel here. But it is a wild abstract design, and it is gold. It is just crazy lines, and he is currently beating me in dual pick with that photo. So good for him on that one. That's very cool. Yes, in fact, he is beating me 100%.
Wow, that's awesome. I love to hear that.
Let's put it this way. I would vote for the photo.
That's easily a new personal best for you, Mark. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know
how yes, personal best. Losing by 100%. You've conquered it.
So anyway, his photo is absolutely phenomenal, and it will be on
username?
Our website. It is. Oh God!
I'm gonna go vote for it.
RT Miller.
RT Miller. R Miller T-Bone.
Oh, cool!
You can find him on Instagram.
Very super awesome. Thank you very much, everybody, for contributing to the Tiny Shutter hashtag. If you would like your picture to be featured as the post picture of the week, make sure you hashtag all of your photos Tiny Shutter. And we hang out there all the time. The feed is getting larger and larger by the day, and we love it. So thank you very much. As I mentioned during the break, which you guys might not have heard if you were listening to the podcast, I am going to start collecting postagrams again. So if you are interested, you can head over to postagramapp.com. You can get the app. It's a free app. And then what you do is you can send pictures to friends and relatives in the form of a postcard that where the picture actually pops out once they get it. And I don't know. I'll see if I can't get a email out to Doc Popular, see if we still have any promo codes available. But I will put the link for the promo codes in the show notes. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to collect them and put them back here on the wall behind me. Now that we're doing live shows, you'll be able to see them behind me. So that'll be cool. Once you use the promo code, it automatically puts us into your address book with no personal information swapped. It's pretty cool. And on top of all that, Postagram is a pretty darn kick butt app and a pretty darn kick butt service. So check it out, Postagram. postagram.com, or postagramapp.com, Postagram in the
App Store.
That place you buy apps, you know.
You know, that place.
All right, Mark, do you have a focus point?
Yes. Well, it's a couple, actually.
Cool.
I know I should only
do you can do two, since Matt probably doesn't have any.
Oh, there you go. So if you have the app Hipstamatic, they are doing a phenomenal giveaway right now where you get to pick up some of their old lenses and films. And you have until December 5th to pick these up. And I mean, it's a boatload of stuff. If you love the app as much as we do, then go check it out and pick those up, because that's going to be around only for a limited time. And they have some really good back catalog of filters.
Mark, when you say giving away, do you mean free or available for purchase once again?
It's hard for me to tell, because I already own them, but my impression was that, oh my God, Keith, what's going on?
I just think that's funny as hell. When you say giving away, do you mean free?
I'm pretty sure it's free. But check it out. It's even if you have to pay for it, I don't think you're going to pay more than 99 cents for them. But I would go check that out. And the other app that I have in mind, this is something that I was playing over the weekend while I was waiting for a wedding client to show up, and it's a little bit of a time waster. It's not so much of a photo app, but because I was doing photo stuff, it makes it in, squeaks in. But it's an app called Benediction. It's a very fun game that you can pick up for free on the App Store. I love promoting the independent app developers, and this guy, Mike Schramm, not only made a great game, but he is probably one of the people that got me into podcasting. So
cool. Like to give.
So either big hurrahs, or if you don't like me, then you can blame him for the horror that has come over the airwaves.
All right, so this is what I'm going to do. I'm gonna offer up a self-personal photography tip.
We all like that photography.
So, I don't think it's a secret. I think I've mentioned it several times that I love my iPhone and the front-facing camera, because when my wife and I go out on long weekends and whatnot, I really enjoy being able to take pictures of us using the front-facing camera and holding it out in front of me. And everybody notices, they're like, you know, you guys are always on the same side, you know, and the pictures all look the same, except the background's different. Because I'm using my right hand, which means my wife has to be on my left, right? And so I'm holding my right hand out in front of me. But here's the tip. If you hold it out in front of you, directly in front of you, and you have what I have, which is this chunk of meat right here, it gives you a nice double chin. So what you do is you hold your wife, and then you raise the camera up to above your head-ish, like right around the top of your head height. And so now you're looking up, you've picked up your chin, and if you bring your chin out a little bit towards the camera, it eliminates your double chin. And now you're getting pictures. And so the extended tip is, it's an awesome thing to have, because now you're not just taking pictures of the scenery and saying, yeah, I was up in the White Mountains, or yeah, I was down in Boston. Now you get pictures, and you're creating memories rather than just pictures. So that's the tip.
Is that a jab at my photos?
None of Matt's photos have Matt in it. I would love to see some Matt photos where you just got your right arm out there. You're like, bam, there's me.
I'm going to make that happen this weekend.
Awesome. Can't wait.
Every photo.
I can't wait.
All right, go on.
Are you going to do it?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. So you guys know I'm all about cases. I can't get enough of freaking cases for the iPhone. So
chicken purses.
Kind of. So this coming weekend, I'm going on a backpacking trip in the Adirondacks, and you guys know I love the LifeProof case, because it's got the waterproof protection and stuff like that. And, you know, I'm always by creeks and streams and things of that nature. Well, there's another case that I'll be using on this coming trip, just because I'll be without any sort of way to plug my phone into a power source for a pretty extended period of time. It's called the Magellan Tough Case. And basically, it's a case that you could charge the case, and it holds a charge. And it also enhances the GPS capabilities of your phone. So on Sunday, when my phone is going to be nearly dead because I spent all day Saturday taking pictures with it and possibly
using yourself.
Exactly, with my right arm held out, with my chin held high.
Fuck up, camper.
You know, I'll be able to flick a switch on the inside of the case, which turns the case on, which then is going to power up my phone, and I'll have plenty of juice for the entire trip. So it's definitely a cool case. It is waterproof. It's what they call the IPX7 standard, which is basically waterproof down to 6 feet for like 30 minutes, which should be plenty of time for you to get pictures of a minnow in a stream or whatever. But check it out.
I expect to see that.
Yeah, it's, I don't know, if I could find one that's not frozen, I'll do that. Should I still have myself in the picture?
I'm sure, yes, you should.
Absolutely. I want your arm around that minnow.
Well, in any case, that's my pick for this week, the Magellan Tough Case.
It's a focus point.
It is a focus point. Yes. That's my focus point for this week, the Magellan Tough Case. It's $99.99, but it's probably on Amazon for less than that.
That's not bad.
Magellan Tough Case, IPX7 standard.
Sounds badass, doesn't it?
It does. Magellan Tough Case. Well, except for that part. Can we bring it to a close?
I think we brought that to a screeching halt a while ago, but yeah, let's do it.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are going to wind it down. Mark is going to tell you where you can find out more about him if you care to do so.
You can find me on twitter.com/mostlymarcus.
Matt.
Yes, you can find me on Instagram and Twitter at mhoffmanphoto.
And you can find me on Instagram at Keith_Tharp. Listen, I don't know what you're doing later on today, but if you'd like to, you can head over to tinyshutter.com and check out all the links and information from today's show, as well as when you're finished, click on the support tab and you can either buy an episode and promote your product, or you can just shoot us some fun-loving support thanking us for the show. You can also head over to facebook.com/thetinyshutter. No, there's no the, just facebook.com/tinyshutter. There you will get fun, casual, random stuff from us occasionally, free app alerts and so forth. And you should be doing all of that and more, and we look forward to seeing and / hearing you next week. Don't forget, we are now doing all of our episodes live on YouTube via Google Hangouts, so if you are so inclined, you can listen along with the rest of the focus group. Thanks to the focus group, Joseph and Grizz, for being with us tonight, as well as the other folks that are in there. Sorry I didn't get all your names. And have a great week. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I am fat.
You're not fat.
You and me both.
All right, boys. I'm going to get to bed at a reasonable hour.
Yay!
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this podcast, head over to iTunes and leave us a review and a 5-star rating. See you next week.